Regardless of where you are in your homesteading journey, whether you are just starting out or you've been at it for a while, there is no way that any of us can know absolutely everything when it comes under the homesteading umbrella. And this is where it is key that you are learning from people who have life experience and have been doing this homesteading when it comes to livestock in the kitchen, but they have been doing it for a long time so that you can bypass the mistakes that they have made along the way. And getting it delivered in your mailbox, in your hands every single month from some of the most trusted voices in homesteading is exactly what you need. And Homestead Living now has Homesteading Monthly, which is an in-print monthly magazine featuring articles from Joel Salatin, myself, Carolyn Thomas, as well as homesteaders who you may not have heard from them, but they have been perfecting their craft and are very much an expert in their area. You can get this for less than $2 an issue. Yes, that is an in-print, jam-packed with articles every single month. Go to homesteadliving.com and grab your subscription right now.
Welcome to Pioneering Today with me, Melissa K. Norris, where I inspire your faith and your pioneer roots. I show you how to grow your own food, heirloom gardening, how to preserve your food at home, and modern homesteading. Tune in every other Friday as I share proven strategies that anyone can do to live the pioneer lifestyle. Make sure to head over to melissaknorris.com and subscribe to receive free Pioneering Today articles and updates. Okay, guys, so today we're going to be talking about budgeting. I thought that we had a pretty good handle on our budget. We try to save money in a lot of ways. We, grow most of our own food, including our own laying hens. We're raising 2 pigs right now. And we have raised our own homegrown grass-fed beef cattle for 6 years. So we, and then I have a huge garden, and we have fruit trees and that kind of thing. And so as far as food goes, we do a lot of things ourselves. And so I like to think that we're pretty self-sufficient in that aspect. But, I don't have a dairy source yet. We don't have a milk cow or goat. So, cheese and milk and those kind of items were still purchased from the store. And of course, the vegetables don't that we grow, our growing season isn't year long. Here in the Pacific Northwest, though I am working on trying to grow some of our food year long with an off-grid greenhouse that we have put up this year. So I'm going to see how that goes into the fall and winter months. But, going back to school is always a time where you have extra funds coming out, buying back to school clothes, back to school supplies, and that kind of a thing. And we've kind of had one of those, I think springs and summers, I don't know about you guys, where it just seems that we had a lot of extra expenses coming out of our budget. We had the brakes go out on my husband's truck that he drives back and forth to work. And so thankfully we do have a savings account. And so we were able to use the money from the savings account to pay for the brakes. But, on a truck when it's the brakes and the calipers and the rotors, it was kind of expensive. So we had some different expenses like that. Some different medical bills, and different things that came up that weren't normal. And so that's what the savings account is for, things that come up that you're not expecting. And so then you can pay them without having to put it on a credit card or whatnot. But I have to tell you, we've had, it seems like over the course of the past 6 months or so, so many of those unexpected things came up. And of course, there was some extra purchases that have been made here and there. We went on a 7-day camping trip that was really fun down to the Oregon coast. But, that was gas alone was, close to $300 when you're pulling a trailer with a bigger truck, with a diesel truck. So, there was just some things. And yes, we could have, canceled that. But there are some things that we, are willing to put the money out for to create memories and family time and that kind of a thing. So our vacations aren't glamorous by any means. We went out for one meal and the rest of it was cooked at the campgrounds. So our vacations usually consist of camping, but we had a lot of fun. So I have to say though, for the past 6 months, it seems that each month we've had to take money out of our savings account to pay off the bills every month. And so while that savings account is there to help with unexpected expenses, when you get to the point where you look at your savings account and it's almost empty, and you know that every month you've been relying on that to make ends meet and you haven't been able to put any money back into your savings account, I don't know about you guys, but that kind of keeps me up at night. I mean, that makes my stomach clench and, you know, it causes a little bit of anxiety, to be quite honest, and it can cause, you know, friction, you know, when you're talking, you know, when you're dealing with finances and stuff, it can be a hard thing. So my husband and I had to take a realistic look at our budget, and we came to a couple conclusions. One is we really weren't sticking to a budget. We thought we were sticking to a budget, but we really weren't. So, you know, when it came down to it, I needed to write it all out on paper again. And, you know, sometimes you have things come up, you know, like we had our power rates increased where we live. And so our power bill has been a little bit more than it usually has. You know, there was a lot of littles that were adding up and eating away at our monthly budget that we weren't really realizing were there. And so my number one tip in creating a budget is to write down, don't go off of what you think your monthly payments are or your monthly bills are. You need to write them all down. So some of them, like for us, some of our bills are every other month. Like our power bill comes and it's an every other month. They don't bill monthly. So I would suggest going back at 2 months, and I actually went back for an entire year on our power bill and then divided that out, added it all up, and then divided it by 12 to get an average to put that into our monthly budget. So write all your bills down, you know, go through, you know, your credit card statements, bank account, any automatic withdrawals that you have set up, go through all those and just write them all down. And then if you have some that are coming out or that fluctuate, then you're going to need to add them up for the prior past 12 months and then divide them by 12 to get a real view of what you're going to be putting out or what your budget needs to be every month and be able to meet those. So when I did this, I was actually really surprised because we had more bills than I realized we did. And that's partly because some of them come out every other month. And when you see it out on paper, there's something about all of those written down that just gives you a little bit more perspective than what you might think in your head. So, you know, it's real common math. So I wrote down what our average monthly income is, you know, no bonuses or extra things like that. And then what our monthly expenses are. And then I did the math. And so what was left over, then I divided that out into 4 weeks. And I actually, I guesstimated our regular gas that we use in a month, not when we're taking extra trips and that kind of a thing, but what we normally would use in a month. And I included both tithing and what we spend on gas in the monthly budget numbers. I did not include groceries because groceries can vary so much depending on the season for us. So groceries is what is going to come out of the money that we have left over from week to week. So, you know, and we told the kids, you know, that we were doing a budget and everything like that, because I think it's really important for your kids to understand how to handle their finances and when things aren't going good, to kind of include them, not to make them worry, but to include them so that they're cognizant of asking for things and wanting to go and do things. And so they know that if they do one thing, then that means they're not gonna be able to do something else later on, so that it's always a choice with what you're spending your money on and what you're choosing to do. So I really wanted that lesson to go home with the kids. So we were, you know, upfront with them about the new budget. And so my husband and I decided that we were going to take out cash each week for the amount that we have for the week. And I, you know, I thought about trying to just add up receipts and keep a good idea on that. But quite frankly, we haven't been doing so hot with that method. And if we take the cash out and we're only allowed to spend what we have, well, when it's gone for the week, it's gone for the week. Because it's really easy to put something on a debit card and even a credit card and not keep track or lose a receipt, or, you know, I don't bring a receipt home, he doesn't bring a receipt home, that kind of a thing. And so we just decided that the cash method was what we were going to do. So if there's any cash left over at the end of each week, then instead of adding that on to the next week, we're going to actually put that into our savings account. And so that way we can start to build our savings account back up. And so this year, it was kind of interesting because we just have been doing this for 2 weeks, actually. And it came back to school time. And normally I would, you know, would go and purchase some new back to school clothes, go down, you know, shopping and that kind of a thing. But I took a realistic look at what my kids already had. And we decided not to do a regular back to school shopping. So for some of you, that might be the norm, and for some of you, it might not. So so for all of my kids' back to school items that we purchased, and this included for two kids, my daughter, this is going to be her first year of school. So it was a backpack and a lunchbox, and then all of their school supplies that was on from the school that they need to come with to have. And then they each got one pair of new shoes, which was tennis shoes, which my son desperately needed. His have holes in them, but he's been wearing his sandals for the summer. So I just told him, you know, you can last a couple more. There's only one more week. You can make it last. So they each got one pair of shoes. Their coats from last year were absolutely in great shape, so there was no need to buy new coats. And so I purchased one pair of pants, actually, and then two shirts. So for both the kids, we spent with the shoes and all the school supplies, backpacks, all of that kind of stuff, and new underwear. It's amazing what you realize the kids need. So all of our back to school purchases were $120 for two kids for everything. And so I actually, I wish it had been lower, but I was actually really proud of that because normally I would go and at least get the kids a couple new outfits. But when I went through their clothes, I realized that they didn't really need any new outfits. They each had pants that were in fine shape, you know, and shirts and everything. And I actually had, and this is a tip that I would encourage you if you're on a budget and you have kids, which, you know, mine are growing. A lot of times they don't even get to wear their clothes out because they are still growing so fast. And that's why I try to buy everything either at a consignment or thrift store. Or when I do purchase new, then I wait until the end of the current season and I buy for the following year. So I actually had, when I went through my son's closet, I had put up from last spring, I had bought out on some clearance closeout sales. I had gotten him pants and some shirts. And so he actually had almost an entire new wardrobe. Between that and then this spring, I also went to some thrift stores and they kind of were doing the same thing. They were clearancing their pants out. And so I got him, you know, almost brand new jeans. I think they were only like $5, and sometimes you can find them less. These happened to be in really good shape. And so almost all my children's coats and that kind of thing, I always buy them at the end of the season for the following year. And so I've never bought their coats, hats, or anything like that full price. So this is also a great time to purchase if you have the extra money and you've budgeted it in. So for our weekly cash that we have, that's for groceries, any kind of entertainment, gifts. So we had three birthday parties that my kids were going to. And so we had three different gifts to buy. So when you realize that you just have that much cash for the week, it really makes you prioritize too what you're going to be purchasing, which is one thing that I noticed, which was really good because there were some things that I would have purchased prior. And then when I was really looking, I'm like, no, we don't actually need that. So creating a budget is really going to make you cognizant more of your spending, especially when you have the cash and you're realizing, okay, I'm choosing between this and that. So right now you have all of the summer clothes are going on clearance. So for next year, I always buy usually a size ahead. And I always try to buy their coats. If I'm going between two sizes, I always buy the bigger size that they will grow into it. But right now is a great time to get sandals for next year, tank tops, shorts, swimsuits, all that kind of stuff you can get really good on clearances right now. You know, I'm talking like $2 a lot of times for brand new items. So that's something that I always try to do, is I always shop the clearance racks and I try to shop for the year ahead. And not only does that actually save us money and it really helps with sticking to the budget, but it's also a great tip for being prepared. Because for preparedness wise, you know, what if you couldn't get to the groceries, the grocery store too, but what if you couldn't get to clothing stores? Most of us don't have the means to make our own fabric. You know, you can get hides if you're a hunter and that kind of a thing. But realistically, you know, a lot of us don't have the way to get material if something happened to make, and sewing skills aren't something that they used to be. You know, a lot of us, if we had to sew all of our own clothes, we'd be looking pretty funny because we wouldn't be looking like we were wearing designer duds or anything. I know that my mom is a good seamstress. And when I was little, she used to sew almost all of my clothes, which at the time I didn't like, but now I love. And so I quilt and I can crochet and I can do basic mending and straight lines and sew curtains and that kind of a thing. But when it comes to clothes, there's definitely a learning curve. I decided I was going to make my daughter a dress when she was 2 because I wanted her to have a dress and I wanted pictures in it, like a memento thing. My mom had done the same thing with me, and I just decided that I wanted to make her a piece of clothing all on my own. Well, so I had a pattern because, you know, back in the old days, didn't have patterns, but now we can get patterns. And I recommend, if you get patterns, to save the patterns to use or to pass down. You never know when you're going to need them. But so I had the pattern and I thought that I was following the pattern pretty well. And it included putting in a zipper, which is a definite skill for sewing, and it had some buttons. And so I was cutting everything out and I was following the pattern for the size. And when I had purchased the stuff to make the dress on the pattern, it has the notations on what you're going to need to be able to complete it. And it didn't have any fabric lining. But the material that I chose was sturdy enough and thick enough that it didn't really need a lining underneath it. And it was a sleeveless summer dress anyways. So I have all the material cut out. And I was pinning it all together following the instructions. And this was the first time I had actually used a pattern that I had done garment sewing. And so I'm following the instructions. And there were some pieces that I had cut out that just didn't make any sense. And so I just kind of put them to the side. And I had the basic structure of the dress. And it's all pinned together. And then I get to the part on the pattern. And it says to attach the lining, to pin the lining on. But there was no lining in the pattern. It didn't call for me to purchase any lining. And so I'm looking through this thing and I'm getting really irritated. And so thankfully my mom lives up the road from me. And so I called her and I said, "Can you come down here? This pattern, there's something wrong with this pattern. It has to be the pattern." And so she comes down to my rescue, thankfully. And she's looking at it and she sees a pile of discarded fabric over on the side of the table. And she says, "Well, what's that?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. It told me to cut it out, but it didn't really make sense when I was pinning it together." Well, that was the lining. You used the fabric that you already had, not special lining fabric. And that was the lining that you put on the dress. So thankfully, my mom had sewn enough and had a little more patience and knowledge than me. That you, when it tells you to cut something out, there's a reason for it, even if you don't think it makes sense right at the time. So she thankfully helped me with the zipper, putting the zipper in and finishing the dress, and it turned out just darling. But it really made me appreciate how hard it would be if I had to sew all of our own clothing. And so I really take a new appreciation now when we're purchasing clothing. And I try to buy clothes, you know, look at the seam and the type of fabric and that kind of a thing that's going to last longer through more washes and through more wears. So for staying on a budget, especially at back to school time, those are my tips to get you always thinking of shopping ahead for both preparedness and money wise. And then another thing about us creating the budget is I really wanted to, especially the first month, was to not only get ourselves back on track, but my goal is to really have some money left over at the end of the month so that we can start to build up our savings account. And so I decided that I was going to try and not buy groceries, or at least as little groceries as possible, which this time of year honestly should be pretty easy for us because I've got the garden harvest is coming on strong right now. We have apples coming on as far as, you know, fresh fruit for snacking and putting up. The blackberries are starting to ripen, And then all of my summer squash is on, the green beans are on, my shelled beans are starting to come on, the tomatoes are coming on, the peppers are coming on, beets are getting ready to harvest, lettuce is growing. So really, and the chickens are laying great. It's summertime, so they're still laying. And then we have in the freezer, we have still our, a lot of the beef. We have the pigs that won't be ready to butcher until October, so I don't actually have pork yet, but we have fish. And then the chickens we raised ourselves for some meat birds. We raised and butchered 10 meat birds this spring. So I have about, I think, 6 left in the freezer. So really not purchasing groceries should be really quite easily for us. I grind our own flour at home, and I have a 35-pound bag of spelt wheat berries right now. And so for any of this that I'm mentioning here, you guys can all check out, I have tutorials how to do it on melissakeynorris.com. So if you go to melissakeynorris.com and click on the podcast button and go down to episode 36, creating and sticking to a budget, then in the resource section of this, then you'll get to, I will link to how to raise your own meat birds, how to grind, how to choose and grind your own flour at home, and all of these things that I'm talking about. So if those are things that you'd like to look into doing for yourself or more about, then you can always check those out in the resource sections. And then I also have started, a couple weeks ago, we started doing the transcriptions of the show. So if you want to go back and read anything, that kind of thing, then you have that available to you as well. And so I thought that not going to the grocery, I'm like, okay, let's see how long we can do this. And it's been pretty interesting. So it's been 2 weeks, and the only thing that we've gotten from the store has been one thing of cheese and one thing of milk. Actually, I was thinking back, making sure I was right. Oh, and one thing of lettuce, because my lettuce at home, my crop isn't all the way quite in yet. So we did get a little bit of lettuce. So I was actually really proud of that. And the kids haven't noticed a difference so far in what we've been eating. And it really made me too, because my goal is to have a large food storage built up at home. And so I do a lot of canning, dehydrating and freezing of food as it's on in season. But, I've never really pushed to see how far we could go on our food storage that we have at home. And of course, some of the items, as they get too low, we'll need to replenish them. But so my goal is to not get anything from the store for at least another 2 weeks. I would like to do a whole month. So we'll see how that goes as things get a little bit closer to the deadline. And if I could go even further, that would be fantastic. And so we'll be having some more posts and things on this coming up on how, we're sticking to it and how we're doing it and things that I'm discovering. But I have to say that what's been really nice is, so I've really had to look at what is coming on and what I can make from that and what I can make. And so instead of going, onto Pinterest, which I do love, or, thumbing through cookbooks and that kind of a thing on what I would like to eat for that day, I'm having to go through the ingredients that we have on hand and deciding what I can make from what we have. So it's taken a little bit more time, but not a huge amount. Actually, not as much as I thought that it would. And so I've been doing some meal planning because a lot of times on the days that I work, I still work outside the home as a pharmacy technician in a neighboring town. So on work days, a lot of times by the time I get home, it's almost 7 o'clock at night, actually. And so if I don't have something in the slow cooker for dinner or leftovers, I usually end up pulling something out of the freezer or, throwing something on that's just easy and quick and not necessarily something that we've prepared from scratch. And so even though I do purchase and use some healthy processed, kind of an oxymoron there, healthy processed foods, but there's some organic items and stuff that I use that I don't have to cook from scratch, or some frozen dinners and that kind of a thing. But it's really made me plan it out. And so I know on the days off that it's a priority to really cook something that I can make several meals from, or that I'm going to have leftovers the next day, or that I can plan and have a meal in the slow cooker for when we get home. And so I've also been making sure that I pack all of our food to work for both me and my husband, and then of course, with the kids. So I've gotten more creative and better, but it's been really fun because I've tried some new recipes because of the ingredients I had on hand. I've, needed to come up with some new ways to cook it. For example, our zucchini right now is just going crazy, which is awesome. And most people will experience that with zucchini plants. They're a very prolific, great little plant. And so we had zucchini, and we had, when we went camping, we thought we had picked all of the zucchini that would be coming on, but one of them we missed. And so when we got home, it was huge, you guys. It was like bigger than a baseball bat, just this huge thing. And so actually when I went to cut it up, it was too big to grill with and really too big to even stuff because it was just so huge. So when I cut it up, I had to cut out the center because it was too many large seeds, which are great for seed saving. If you want to save seeds on your squash, then you want to actually let it get overripe and really big and mature like that, because that's how you get the large seeds. And the seeds are developed enough that you can plant with them the following year. So I cut out the center section with the seeds, and that was really soft. And then I grated the rest up for to make in some recipes. And so guess how many cups of grated zucchini I got off of one zucchini? 15. 15 cups of grated zucchini from one zucchini. So that, I was actually pretty excited about that. So now when I grate my zucchini, I freeze a lot of it to use up in future recipes. And when I grate and freeze my zucchini, I do not blanch it. I just put it in the freezer as is, and I don't have a problem with that. There's some vegetables that you do need to blanch before you freeze, but zucchini isn't really one of them. So I portioned it up into 2 and 3 cup portions because some of my recipes call for a little bit different that, and then put them in, use the vacuum sealer or food saver, and put them, label them and put them in the freezer. So I was really excited about that, but we also got one of the veggie spiralizers, and that was really fun. So I used a couple of the zucchinis to make spaghetti. So we had our beef and tomato sauce and that kind of stuff already in the pantry. So that was really easy for me to do. And it was the first time doing the zucchini noodles. And so you put them in the spiralizer, and I will link in the show notes to the spiralizer that we got because I really like it. And you put it in there, and you put it through, and it spiralizes them out. And then I just lightly steamed ours for just a few minutes. So they were still not full on raw crunchy, but not really all the way cooked because I didn't want them to get mushy. And then we had those with spaghetti. And it was really interesting because my son, my little picky eater boy, is 9, and he doesn't think that he likes vegetables that much, especially zucchini. So I just put covered the zucchini noodles with the sauce and didn't really tell him and just let him take a couple bites till he could see what it was. And he liked it, and he ate the entire thing and asked for a second. So I was really excited about that. And then another recipe that I ended up trying, because I had so much zucchini, so a lot of our dinners have been, that has been the star of the meal, so to speak, is zucchini. And of course I have, double chocolate zucchini bread recipe. And so I've been making a lot of different muffins. I made some zucchini blueberry muffins, and I'll link to those, all those recipes in the show notes for you. And so those have been for breakfast and snacks and that kind of a thing, which has been kind of nice because actually they're already ready, you know, they're cooked and ready to go. And then I just grab them as we're going out the door. So that's been actually a time saver in the morning, is having it done. It's kind of more the prep work beforehand, but it's been a nice benefit. And so the other recipe that we did with zucchini that was really fun was I did the zucchini pizza crust. And I have to tell you, it was good. Like, so this is kind of funny. You know, now I don't know about you guys, but if there's only a few items left, not enough for the whole family to eat the next night for dinner and leftovers, then that's what my husband and I take for lunch. And so we had some other odd and end lunch things. And so I had wrapped up the very last piece of this zucchini pizza, and I had kind of tucked it into a part of the fridge that I didn't think he would see when he was leaving for work in the morning, because he leaves before I do. And I really wanted that last piece of zucchini crust pizza. It was really good. And so I get up in the morning, and, you know, I'm getting ready for work, and I'm pulling my lunch out, and he took it. He totally ferreted it out and took it. And so I was just laughing because I'm like, yeah, it was that good. We were actually kind of fighting over the last piece. I mean, not really fighting, but you get what I mean. So I will share that recipe. It's not my own. I found it on Pinterest, but it was really good. So it takes 8 cups of zucchini, and that's because zucchini has so much water in it, and you end up squeezing it out. So you'll need one of those mammoth zucchinis or a couple of them anyways to get that amount. And so you grate it up and let it sit with a little bit of salt on it. And then you squeeze it all out, and then you mix in your other ingredients. And so it did call for a little bit of flour, which I use spelt flour. If you're gluten-free, then you could use some kind of gluten-free flour, probably a smaller amount of the coconut flour or some almond flour, or even cornmeal. You know what? I think cornmeal would be really good, actually. Ooh, I might be trying that out next. And there has some grated cheese in it, an egg, and then some garlic and onions. And so the crust itself, I'm telling you, is just awesome. And so then I put on top was some tomato sauce. I didn't have any pizza sauce, and I wasn't going to go to the store. So I just used some tomato sauce spread on top, grated up cheese, and then we had tacos, and I had some taco meat left over, and so I put taco meat on it and then some fresh tomatoes from the garden. So that was the pizza, and it was really good, and it was an excellent way to use up so much of the zucchini. And, you know, normally I probably wouldn't have made the recipe if I had just been looking at it, because, you know, I probably would have just done a traditional crust, but I had so much zucchini and I knew that I needed to use that in our meal in order to, you know, stretch the budget and not have to go to the store. And so I've actually really been enjoying it because I've been trying new recipes and I've been thinking, you know, about a little bit different about ways to use it. And I also haven't, I don't know about you guys, but I hate letting any food go bad or to waste, or you go through the fridge and you realize something's a little bit too old and you end up throwing it out, which ours goes to the composter. Actually, it all goes to the pigs right now. But it's really because we're not eating out at all and we're not using anything processed, it's really making us use all of the food that I prepare and that we have in the fridge so that none of it goes bad. And so it's actually been a great exercise. And I know I'm just at the beginning. It's only going into 2 weeks. So it's probably... I might not have hit the struggle point yet, which I will totally keep you updated and sharing on that as we go. And so I also wanted to get to our reader question of the week. And I had a reader ask me, if you are canning half pints in the pressure canner, can you stack them and do a run where you have your jars are layered? And so the answer to that is you can do it only if you have a rack that separates the bottom layer of canning jars from the top layer of canning jars. You can't put canning jars directly on top of each other because the heat can't circulate in between them, and you can't ensure that all of the food is going to get hot enough to be safe. So you can stack layers, not in a water bath canner, but in a pressure canner, you can, but only if obviously there's enough room to do so and you have a rack that's going to be separating them. So you can, you just need to make sure that you're using the rack. So I hope you have enjoyed this episode. And if you have any tips for creating and sticking to a budget and saving money, I would love to hear them and share them with the listeners. And I also, if you're looking for more budget ideas, you are going to want to listen to The Phenomenal Mom, who's another co-host over at Survival Mom Radio. And I will link to her show, which she has one all about back to school supplies on a budget. And she has some great tips that I didn't mention for finding your back to school items. So I will provide that in the show resource notes for you guys. Thanks for tuning in. You were just listening to Pioneering Today. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a review on iTunes and make sure to head over to melissaknorris.com to subscribe for free modern homesteading updates to help you live the simple life.